you. That's what Yonah from Israel says. May you screw in your Doin al Shemach. We call Jews based on your name, on Yehuda. So, interesting, but the Tegan Yonah from Benazio gives the reason. He says the reason is because of Tamar. It's an amazing thing. Because of Tamar. What does it mean, the reason is because of Tamar? I mean, Tamar was a downfall. It was a mistake. It was a design. But it's an interesting thing. See, it's an interesting phenomenon. And you see it in today's political world as well. That when a person who is a leader fails, so most leaders, if they're caught in something, so what they try to do is to cover up. Because they realize that if it gets out, so they lose their whole political fame is lost, and then the leadership goes with it. Usually, if you follow, in the political world, usually the politician always makes the same mistake, that he keeps on admitting in a retreating pattern, which is that as the pressure mounts, so he retreats again. Then the pressure mounts more, he keeps on retreating, and in the end, he loses. And on the contrary, if many times the politician himself realizes that had he initially come clean, he would have been much better off, but that's hindsight. But the initial attempt is usually to cover up. And over here, the Torah tells you just the opposite. It's what Tegan Yonason says, that what was Yehuda's strength? His strength was, and why do the brothers respect him? Because he admitted his flaw. So why is that so? That sometimes the admission of the flaw leads to, and many times politicians are right, that if he'd admit right away, would be destroyed. Could be. But usually it works out for the worst. But unless they could succeed in the cover-up. But here the Torah tells you an interesting thing, that on the contrary, that because of the admission, he gained his strength because of the admission. Interesting is the way the Torah describes it. It really opens up the reason as to when the politician would succeed and when he would fail. It's basically in the psukim. In the case of Yehuda, so what happened? So it was the Maisa with Tamar. And he lived with her. He thought she was his own, but he actually was his own. So he lived with her, and he gave her three things that he gave her as a ravon, as a guarantee. So he gave chosomcha of silecha umatcha shabidecha. So he gave her these three things, and the tabas and the simlon, and the mata, and then he couldn't find her, and he said, Ayeg Desha, and he says, they couldn't find her. So Yehuda says, Tikachon, Tanil of Uz, so this will be a big embarrassment. Ramban explains that he was really a melech, when he left his brother, so he became a melech in that area. So then Tamar was waiting for Shelah, and then she became pregnant. So Yehuda said, Otsiyu v'sisores. Why? So the Ramban says, because it was a pagia in the covenant of the Malchus. So she was pagia in his covenant, in the covenant of the Malchus, of Yehuda. So then it says, he would say, si shochol chamiya lema le isha sher elu lo anokhi hara, batoma hakin olamiyach ha-semes ha-tsum ha-mata ela. So the pasuk says, v'yakir Yehuda, he recognized it, v'yom, and he said, tzotka mimani. So interesting is, Ramban says, tzotka mimani means that, plain shot is that, She's more righteous than me. I'm the chote. Ramban says that's the plain shot. He says tzadikim tov men. Although tzadik ato many, he ato gemalasni tovo vanig malaticha ra. Tzadik b'maseh yosem many. She's much better than me. But two Tingamunculus says differently. Tingamunculus says, V'amar, V'ishtamoda Yehuda V'amar Zaka'a. Zaka'a means that she's innocent. Mimi Ma'adya. That the pregnancy's from me. And then he says, Ki alkin lo nesati o l'sheilo zoin. So, like Tigger Yonason says, V'aka Yehuda V'amar Zachyahi. Kama minis aboris. Raskola naflas mishmaya va'amaras to me. Kodam I have a pisgama. The ishtezovu taveon mendinin. Va'ama begindaloi, va'ama begindaloi yahav, the hafter l'sheila bri, ira yasi kedon. Lo oisef to the lameda b'mishkava. So it says that begindaloi yahavta l'sheila bri, ira yasi kedon. He says, why did this happen to me? He said, because I didn't give it to Sheila. So, according to Tigamungalus, tzadka and mimeni are two different things. Tzadka means zaka, she's innocent. And mimeni means mimi is a boros. Mimi ma'adya. So, the Ramban, but the Lashon HaMikra really is a little bit unusual. Because it should have said, Vayomar tzadka, she's innocent. And then he could have said, umimeni, or he didn't have to say it. But tzadka mimeni is placing those two words grammatically in a way that, at first sight, doesn't lend itself to the proper linguistic expression. But really, in that expression lies an idea, you see. The truth of the matter is that Yehuda was ashamed. And he didn't want anybody to know that he lived with dishonor. And when she was in Mutes, so when she was brought out to be killed, so it was Dina Nefashis. So once she of course didn't openly do anything, because I'll say that she was ready to go to her death if Yehuda wouldn't acknowledge that these things were from him. But Yehuda, all he had to do as a leader. And all any ordinary leader would have just said, tzadka. That's it. She's innocent. Stop. Don't kill her. And why? He could give a lot of reasons. New information came to him, this, that. There was no reason for him to degrade himself as a leader. He can't do a horrible injustice. And the killer, that goes without saying. But nevertheless, there was no reason why he had to embarrass himself. I mean, all he had to do was his obligation to carry out justice. So he should have just said, tzadka, that's it. She's innocent, don't kill her. Why? New information, we'll discuss that, the separate parsha, why. Could give many, many excuses. She was raped, this, many possibilities. But he didn't have to disclose. He was the melech and he could have done what he wanted. But he said, tzadka mimeni. What he said was that the mimeni was tied to the tzadka. That the justice demanded that he disclose his own avla, his own shame. Why? Because Yehuda recognized that when a person is on trial, it's not just a question of whether they're going to get an onesh, whether they're going to get the proper punishment or not, but really the whole Odom is on trial. The kavod ha'odom is on trial. It's not simply a trial about meeting out justice. Should she be punished? Should she not be punished? That's of course the essential trial. But there's a peripheral trial which is just as significant. And that is the condemnation of the personality. So the pasuk put those two words together. Tzadka mimeni, which means that what Yehuda said was he didn't simply remove her from the penalty of misa, of death, but he restored her kavod. And the only way to restore her kavod was to disclose that she's pregnant from me. Then her kavod was restored. So that is the true man of justice. That's the true person of Mishpat. That he recognizes that on trial is not simply the gufadam, not simply the physical entity of the individual, whether they'll suffer a penalty or not, but the kavod adam is on trial, and he recognized that the only way to restore kavod was to disclose the fact that she became pregnant from him. And then he said, why did this happen to me? Because I was wrong. Because I waited too long with Shayla. And it was my own protective emotions for my son caused me to do an injustice towards her. And once he disclosed everything, then she was restored to her honorable position. If he wouldn't have done it at that moment, then it never her cover would never be restored. If he would have said, Tzatka, and then later, even if he wouldn't make up a story later, even if privately, quietly later, he'd tell people what happened and why in a hushed-up situation, not in public. But then he wouldn't have been the man of justice. So Yehuda, by saying Tzatka and the Mimeni, and the Tzatka is one thing, Tzatka Mimeni, the vindication, the Tzatka, was tied to his own shame because his own shame was the only manner in which he could restore her kavod. And that's the true individual. That's the true man of justice. That's what Tegan Yonason Ben Aviel says. That when he did that, so then they saw that that's the person who really is a leader. Why? Because he leads not because he wants to be a leader. And not because of the fact that he projects a certain person, personality, that he's a great person. See, most leaders, the reason, how do they become leaders? They try to project a certain image. And that's why once something happens to tarnish their image, they realize that if it gets out, that's the end of the leadership. Because the leadership is only totally on a certain image which they're projecting. But by Yehuda, and that's true. Right or wrong, the politician's right or wrong. I mean, it's a hard call. It's afterwards, it's easy to make the call, but at the time, it's a very difficult call to make. But that's because they lead politically. A political leader is one that leads because of a certain projecting on the public a certain image, usually a fraudulent one. And therefore, they realize that this is completely destroyed if they're uncovered. But by Yehuda, his leadership was simply for the sake of bringing justice to the world. Like the Rambam says, nobody wanted to be the Gdolei Sanhedrin, everyone wanted to be on the Sanhedrin. They were forced to do it and to leave the world of Chachma because they realized that you must have justice in the world, and that was the only time that they accepted a position. Never because of personal gain, and then never because they wanted fame, or like the Rambam says, to increase their followers or their reputation, but it was simply because of the implementation of justice. That's the bracha, Yehuda ata yoducha achecha. It means your brothers will be moda. They'll be moda that they'll recognize you as a true leader, because they'll recognize the fact that you lead with only one intention, and that is to bring justice to the world. And in a situation where he could have simply even accomplished justice, but not disgrace himself and cause himself tremendous shame. And you see from the story before how he was ashamed. He says that the penny of words is going to be it'll be a shame. It'll be an embarrassment. So nevertheless, when it came to true justice, he recognized that this is the only way to bring about genuine justice to the individual and to raise the individual on the contrary from the lowest disgrace to the highest covet. That's Tzadka Mimeni. That's the person, that's the proof of the very proof of the fact that this individual is in this position for only one reason, just to bring justice, even if it means his own disgrace. That's Ata Yoducha Achecha, Yishtachbu Lecha B'nei Imecha. That was Yehuda. That's genuine leadership. That was David HaMelech. So that's why Yehuda got the bracha of leadership. By Yosef, it's a little different. See, by Yosef, it's different. By Yosef, the Targum says an interesting thing. It goes through Vayamaru Varobun, Vayistamu Balashitzin, that they all took their vengeance out on Yosef. Then Akmoli, Vayikule, Gazin, Giborin, Balik, Polguso, and the Bali Amachlekes took Nekama and they tortured him. And then it says, the Savas Bahon Nizi, then Tigmukla says in Pasuk Chavdala, not just, the Savas Bahon Nizi Usei, and he had Nevuah Y, Al the Kayim Araisa Besisra. Interesting. Over here, the Tirgum Unkelus gives you the whole secret to how Yosef was able to manage. Because emotionally, he would not have been able to do it. It wasn't emotional strength. Emotional strength, it would have fallen apart. Because the brothers completely destroyed him emotionally. And then he was completely lost from them and their eyes, and he was removed completely from his father's, from being before his father, and there was nothing left, and emotionally he would have been completely destroyed, would not be able to continue. That's why it says the brothers looked for him, they looked for him and shook Shalzonos, but they figured that emotionally he's gone. But what really saved him? So Tegemunkus tells you the secret. Al the Kayim Arais of the Sisra. Because the Sisrei Torah that he learned from Yaakov Avinu, like Chazal say, that Yaakov Avinu gave him over the Sisrei Torah from Shem Ve'eva, the hidden ideas of Torah, the ideas of Hashem, which only Yaakov Avinu had. This he shared with he shared only with Yosef. So the ideas of Hashem that he gained from his father. That knowledge, the Kayim Araisa B'Sisra, the Sisrei Torah that he gained from his father, that was the only thing that saved him. That was a different kind of a support. Like he continues, V'Shavi B'Sukfo Rochatzone, and his Rochatzone is that which supports him. He was the Shavi B'Sukfa, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Yedias Hashem was what gave him, that's where his strength came from, the Yedias Hashem. Different kind of a strength. Emotional strength, emotional strength would not have pulled him through. He simply could not have made it. And in our society, we always respect emotional strength. Emotional strength has a limitation. In Yehadus, it's not emotional strength. It's bitachon b'Hashem. That is the only thing that could save man. Because emotional strength only goes so far. And the only real strength, and emotional strength is superficial strength. Superficial. It's just psychological. But in Yehadus, there's a far deeper source of strength. And that comes from knowledge, and it comes from the Yedias Hashem. And that's the pasuk says about David HaMelech, that the Yechazek David Bar Hashem Alekav, that what pulled David through, Yedias Hashem, Bar Hashem Alekav. Different kind of strength, a different source of strength. So Yosef had that strength. And that's why he says, B'chein Yisromo Dehav Al Dera'oi De'achasin Malchusa. And that's why he yarshin Malchus. The Malchus that he yarshin was the Malchus from Paro. So his Malchus came from a different source. His Malchus came from the source of Yedias Hashem through Sisrei Torah. Different kind of a phenomenon. So in Yehadus, apparently, there are two types of leaders. There's a leader which is the leadership from Yehuda, who is the man of justice. And this is the man who is recognized. And not of course, by Rishoyim, but by Tzadikim. He has true recognition. That's Yehuda. But the man of Sisrei Torah is not the man of Malchus. See, the man of Sisrei Torah is not the man of Malchus. Ordinarily. He's not the one that's programmed for Malchus. He's really programmed to be Yoshe B'Sesa. He's programmed to continue his private existence and to engage in Chachmas Hashem. That's really what his program is. But sometimes the Ashgacha takes such an individual out of his realm and places him into a position of Malchus. That's a special event of the Ashgacha. It's not the ordinary proceedings, not the ordinary way of things to unfold. But occasionally that does happen. that was the case of Yosef, like the Rav one time said. Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Yosef out of Rosh Hashanah and threw him into Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Ashkacha did. It's a different kind of a situation. Such a leader emerges only because of the Ashkacha. Such a leader, of course, was Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the same exact thing. And he was the private individual, the individual that was the Roi Tzon and pursued metaphysical knowledge, but the Ashkacha took him out of that Rishus and put him into and made him the leader of Klal Yisrael. So that's a different kind of an event. It's a different kind of an event. But that's leadership via an exceptional case, via the Ashkacha. Occasionally, the Ashkacha does that. But that's not the ordinary system of Malchus. The ordinary system of Malchus is Yehuda. So it's true that Yosef was Zocha to Malchus, but he wasn't really the man of Malchus. He was the man of Sisrei Torah. He was the man of the pursuit of the metaphysical. But the Ashkacha took him out of that private situation and placed him in a public situation of being a leader to Paro. Being Paro's advisor and Paro's leader and Moshe B'chalaret Mitzrayim. So that's really what the Torah describes here. In the Brachos, the Torah describes two types of leaders. A leader who is a genuine leader. Leadership is his nature, and that's Yehuda. And then there's the rare individual who has nothing to do with leadership. His nature is really programmed for pursuit of chachma, metaphysical knowledge, and the Torah of Shem Ve'Ever, and a completely different world. But such an individual usually stays in that world. But occasionally, the Ashkacha steps in and takes such an individual out of his private realm and places him in the realm of leadership. Of course, when such an individual becomes a leader, he's the greatest leader. But that's not the way the brachas go. The brachas go in the regular manner. So that's really the distinction between Yehuda, who is Zocha to Malchus, to Ata Yaducha Achecho, the genuine man of justice, and Yosef, who was a leader, and he did inherit Malchus, but only temporarily. Temporarily, the meaning inherited Malchus. But on a permanent basis, he wasn't really, he wasn't designated for Malchus. He was designated for pursuit of Maisa Bracious and Maisa Merkava. To be in a completely different realm, a different realm of existence. Okay. That's the answer to that, good question of why Yosef, the difference between the Malchus of Yosef and the Malchus of Yehuda. Interesting is that the Vayibishu and Melech, of course, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. He was that kind of a Melech. That was the Ashkacha dictated that he should be such a Melech, and that was really the criticism of Shmuel, that the Om wanted a Melech. That, like Ramban says, because they had Shmuel then, so it means they had the leader who was the Navi. That the Navi was the leader. That was the Ashgacha. He was the leader. But Klal Yisrael was wrong in wanting to remove that kind of a leader and to go for the leader of even the true leader of Malchus, but to switch from the leadership of the Navi, who they were fortunate to have a situation that they had the leadership of the individual who pursues the greatest metaphysical knowledge, that's the Navi, and they were in that fortunate situation. In that fortunate situation, they shouldn't have turned to Malchus, even a good Malchus, even a correct Malchus, even Malchus Yehuda. But it was wrong, because they still had the opportunity to have a Melech. That was a Melech was the individual who pursues the metaphysical knowledge, and he was functioning as a Melech, and that's why the pasuk says lo oscha ma'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, well, can you not see? Because to have the metaphysical leader, that's the greatest leader, and it's not always possible to have such a thing. That's the Ashkacha brings that about. But if the Ashkacha does bring that about, and one is fortunate enough to be under such a leader, it's wrong to turn to the leadership of Malchus, even the correct Malchus, because that's not the same kind of a leader. from RC came RC. Because they had the leader of the leadership of the Navi, and they looked for the leadership of the Malchus. And that was a chait. That was considered a chait. Okay. Any questions? Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Go ahead. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, why Jews are named after Yehuda? Yeah, that's right. I mean, why is that so? They were called Jews. Yeah, because the answer is like this. It's a good question. I'm sorry to get back to that. Yeah, the answer is that the world can't recognize the leadership of the individual that is Yosef Besesa is not for the world. The world can't recognize that kind of a leader. The world isn't on a level. You see, Yehuda is the true political, really genuine leader. So that kind of an individual is the one that's recognized for the world. The world is not on the level to recognize the leadership of the leadership of the Navi, the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, the leadership of Yosef. That requires the Hashgacha has to intervene and create certain situations. But for the world, the Yehuda is the one that personifies the Jew, because he's the man of justice and the man of leadership and the man of courage, Yotcha Baruch Levecha, and he's the courageous leader and the one that looks for truth and justice. That's the one that the world recognizes. He's the one that was programmed for that was given the ability to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, and the one that's recognized as the leader of as the leader in terms of world leadership. That's why the Shem Yehuda is the name that the Jew goes by, because it's the name in the world. The world calls us Jews. Okay. I can't hear you. Who are
you? Yeah, you mentioned about Yehuda and Yosef and
the Mashiach coming from Yosef. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, the Mashiach ben Yosef is Nerag. Yeah, it's the Medrash. Yeah, it's true. That's a very good point. That's a good point. Which means you mean to say that the world, it could be that's the way the Rambam was shot in the Medrash, because the Rambam doesn't have Mashiach ben Yosef. But it could be that that's the way the Rambam learned Pshat in the Midrash, that it means that a Mashiach ben Yosef would really be ideal, but he would be destroyed by the world because they couldn't tolerate him. So you need the world can't recognize the Mashiach ben Yosef. The world needs the Mashiach ben Yehuda. That's a good shot. It's very good. That's very good. I think Rambam doesn't have Mashiach ben Yosef. He has Shnei Mashiachim, David and the Melech Mashiach. And apparently he learns that Midrash as a drush. Yeah, it'll be a very, very good interpretation. Very good. Tamaraisa Besisra. But that kind of a Besisra doesn't mean just simply that they did it hiding. It means Araisa Besisra means the Torah that is Besesa. That's what it means. A different kind of Torah. It's the Araisa that is in the Seser Belev Adam, the Seser. That's what it means. You want me to explain it? I'll read that to
you. Okay.
You know, the kind of Araisa Besisra, of course, means literally, he kept it the Seser. It's a different kind of a Kiyam Araisa Besisra. It doesn't mean that he just didn't let anybody see what he was doing. It's a special, a different kind of Kiyam Araisa Besisra, that's Besesa Lev Adam. That's a different kind of a Torah. So the Araisa Besisra is the reference to the it's kept Besesar. The reason why it's kept Besesar is because, by the way, I mean, now that you mention that, I just mentioned another point about that. The Kayam Araisa Besisra. That Araisa Besisra doesn't mean just that he kept it quietly and nobody knew about it. I mean, what does that mean? A lot of people do that. What it means is Kayam Araisa Besisra means there's a certain kind of Torah that's Besesa. There's a certain kind of Torah that intrinsically is kept Besesa. You see, it's not the way you do it. It's the nature of the Kiyuma Raisa is only a Kiyuma of Besesa. See, the Rambam says that, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim talks about that. He says, Domu Vavchem al Mishkavtem V'Domu Sela. So the Rambam says there's a kind of knowledge that a person doesn't share with anybody. He has no desire to share it. It's a different kind of knowledge. Because usually when a person has knowledge, he has a desire to share it. He has a desire to share it for reasons that are altruistic reasons. And even good reasons. I mean, even if the person's desire to share it is not to be misguided in his limud, to show that he has knowledge. But even for genuine reasons, he has a desire to share it. But there's a kind of knowledge which the Rambam speaks about in the Mor Nevuchim. He says that the person who has that knowledge has no desire to share it. It's not accompanied by a desire to share. It's immovel vavchem al mishkavchem the domu sela. The domu sela. That's a raisa besisra. The nature of the Torah is seisa. It's not a matter of how he acts. It's not a matter of how he acts towards other human beings. It's a raisa besisra that its nature is besisra. Naturally, that's what's called that the sisrei Torah means. It's besisra lei for Adam. He has no desire to share it with anybody. It means a different kind of a knowledge. It's a knowledge that the individual who attains that knowledge knows that this is besesa. This is something which is besesa. So kiyamaraisa besisra means that he was zocha to that kind of a knowledge which is besesa. That knowledge besesa is what kept him. You see, the knowledge that's not besesa is contingent upon others. So how others react is the sharing is a part of the knowledge. But this knowledge is only for the individual alone. And that's why the strength that he gains from that knowledge is not subject to any kind of external effect. You see, that's really what the Tiger Monk was saying. That what saves him, this Maru Yasevinak Moi, Vaikule Gavin Yibaran, Bali Put Pagusa. But the Savat Bonus Yusel, the Kayama Rites of the Sisra. So the, and the Shavi Besukva, Rochatzane. That's a different kind of a, that knowledge is completely shielded from any kind of a external attack. It's a private knowledge. It's a knowledge that the individual knows is only his. Like the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim, that knowledge is truly only his. And he has no desire to share it with anybody. And it's protected like a fortress because there's no access to it from the external world. It's impervious. So that was the source of his strength. That's the rise of the sister. It's not the sister the way he acted. Not a social phenomenon of the sister. The sister is because its nature is the sister. And that's really what Chazal say, what the Targum says. That ki ben zekunim ulo bar chakim, like Rashi says, mosalo sisrei Torah. That's the besesa. It's not a social besesa. It's an intrinsic besesa of knowledge. That's what the Rambam says. That there's a certain kind of knowledge that the individual who attains that knowledge has no desire to share it with anybody. It's in the ravcham ashkafchem the domusela. That was Yosef. Okay. Any other questions? Excuse me? The sons of Yosef. Yeah. Yehal Bersi mentioned the naming of the sons of Yosef. It's an interesting thing. But by the naming of the sons, it says that Shema Shein Kor Ephraim. Kiyefrani Eliyosef Shilad Miketz. It says the Shema Sheni Kor Ephraim. Kiyefrani Elikim Bieretz Onyi. So the pasuk gives the reason because Kiyefrani maybe multiply in the land of my pain. But interesting is the Das Akenim Balatesis. He says, Korah Ephraim. Why do you call him Ephraim? Because it should have been Ephrani, Ephraim. So he says, Al Shem Ovos, Avram v'Yitzchak, Shenema b'hem Ether. Avram, Shenema v'anochi ofo v'Ether. Yitzchak, ke'Ephrael gabe mizbeach. The Ephraim mashma, shteyaphoros. So the Ephraim is mashma, it's true, there was an overt meaning to the name Ephraim, Kifrano Kimberet Ani, but there was also a hidden meaning that's from the first part of the word, from the Aleph, Ether. Masha and Ephraim is double. Ephraim, Mashma Shteyaphoros. And that's the Daskin in Bartesis. It's even the Daskin, and he also says, that's why Lakach Mishri Yisrael Hashem Ephraim, Shema Zengakil Ephraim, because of that. So you see that what maintained him was the Avos, like how he mentioned, that's correct. You see, Daskin and Bartesis says that. That it was really Ephraim was Hashem Avram the Yitzchak. Vanochi Ofa Vaether, and the Yitzchak was Ephraim Gabem Ezbeach. So the Avos were the ones that sustained him. That's correct. And of course, the Avos is the metaphysical knowledge. The metaphysical knowledge which goes back to Avram Avinu, is the Chochosman.